From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Listener, welcome back with me, Asmawati Rahman. We will accompany you for the next 60 minutes. In today's edition, we will present some segment to you beginning from news, commentary, and other interesting information, as well as Indonesian songs. Well, listener, we begin with the news. And stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
This is Ania Sanal with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesia and Malaysia will work together to face the European Union at the WTO. Palm oil-producing countries agree to boost cooperation to increase palm oil price. And now the news in detail. The Renewable Energy Directive, or RED2, and Delegated Regulation, DR, imposed by the European Union on palm oil products are discriminatory measures that are detrimental to palm oil-producing countries, especially Indonesia and Malaysia. The policy has caused the export of Indonesian palm oil products to the European Union to decline. This was stated by Indonesian Coordinating Minister for the Economic Affairs, Erlangga Hartarto, to reporters at the second meeting of the ministerial level of palm oil-producing countries, which took place in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, Monday. Minister Erlangga said that currently there is a competition between vegetable oil and palm oil-producing countries. Therefore, Indonesia and Malaysia will consult in facing the negative campaign of European Union at the World Trade Organization WTO.
Jadi sebetulnya kita harus melihat bahwa di ini sebetulnya ada persaingan antara vegetable oil yang lain.
There is actually another vegetable oil competition with palm oil. It was clear that soybean oil production was far below 30% compared to palm oil production. To face a negative campaign and legislation that has been agreed in the European Union, Indonesia and Malaysia will consult and communicate in dealing with this case at the WTO. To stop the use of palm oil-based transportation fuels, the European Union has also reduced Malaysian revenues from this sector. So Minister Erlangga said it would be better if Indonesia and Malaysia jointly debate this case at the World Trade Organization WTA. The second ministerial meeting of palm oil-producing countries, which took place in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia on Monday, recommended several measures to be followed up. One of them is to continue to promote and expand biofuel consumption in order to absorb more crude palm oil CPO in the global market, including through Indonesia's efforts to implement the B30 program in December. Representative from Indonesia Coordinating Minister for Economy Erlangga Hartarto said that the participating countries agreed to boost cooperation in developing strategies to increase the price of palm oil. He also said that Indonesia's policy in carrying out the Bio20 fuel program B20 had succeeded in driving up world palm oil prices.
Jadi beberapa hasil daripada pertemuan yaitu
some of the results of the meeting are firstly, oil palm producing countries increased their cooperation to develop strategies to improve better prices. Professor James Fry and Paganini recognize that there has been increase in prices later this year due to Indonesia's policy of implementing B20 and will increase it to B30. Currently, the price of palm oil is already above 600, so this step is really appreciated by other countries. Minister Erlangga Hartarto added that during the meeting, Malaysia also conveyed its commitment to implement B20 in 2020. The policy is expected to be followed by other palm oil-producing countries. It is also hoped that the countries can accelerate the use of B30 biofuel. Minister Erlangga Hartarto added that palm oil producing member country CPOPC will shortly orient to Indonesia in applying B20 even B30 program. Garuda Contingent, a group of peacekeepers drawn from the Indonesian military that serve with the United Nations, carries out important duties that are strongly related to political and sociocultural activities as well as military diplomacy. The assignment of Indonesian military TNI soldiers to UN peace missions in the Garuda Contingent is a special task, as they can perform as Indonesian ambassadors in international forums. Escorted by Antara News Agency, Indonesian Military TNI Commander Air Chief Marshal Hadi Cahyanto pointed out in his remarks, read by TNI Inspector General Lieutenant General Herindra, during the departure ceremony of 850 personnel of the Garuda Contingent Task Force 39B Rapid Action Battalion in Jakarta on Monday, that they need to carry out their task with responsibility and pride. Marshal Hadi Cahyanto said to the personnel that they have to maintain the good image of the person, unit, nation, and state, and show that the Indonesian military TNI are professional soldiers. According to Cahyanto, local communities is conflicted countries, including Congo, as well as the United Nations, recognize the ability and value the success achieved through a humanitarian approach conducted by Indonesian peacekeepers. This news comes to you over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesia had officially launched Timber Legality Verification System, SVLK, in 2009 to support Indonesian forest conservation effort and illegal logging mitigation, as well as to increase legal wood trade. Ambassador of European Union Vincent Piquet at a press conference on the sidelines of 10 years' reflection of SVLK implementation and 3 years license of forest law enforcement governments and trade in Jakarta on Monday explained that the Timber Legality Verification System, SVLK, can be implemented well by Indonesia in cooperation with the European Union.
Well, the progress has been very good. We have seen a steady rise in Indonesian exports of timber to the European Union. We have seen an increase in the added value of Indonesian timber sold of the EU on the EU market. In value terms, we have gone increased faster than in quantity terms, which is a good sign. The system also works in terms of the cooperation between the Indonesian authorities and the EU and the member states. It's very positive, and today we had the Joint Implementation Committee meeting. Now, if you had seen the agenda, very dense agenda of very concrete matters, reporting on what was achieved and what we still need to do. So I'm quite positive about that this will continue to lead to results.
Ambassador Vincent Piquet, moreover, added that Indonesia is the first country which led the cooperation, since Indonesia is the world's biggest producer of legal wood. Indonesia can also be a role model for other countries in the world, which really appreciates the Timber Legality Verification System, SVLK, in forest law enforcement, governance and trade, or FLEGT. Industry Minister Agus Gumiwang Kartasasmita in Tokyo, Japan, believes that Indonesia remains the chief destination for investment, particularly in the manufacturing industry, owing to its huge market and copious raw materials. As quoted by Antara News Agency, the minister said several global-scale investors have expressed interest to make Indonesia their production base to meet demand from both domestic and export markets. He also pointed to several competitive human resources in Indonesia that give it another edge. He further said that it is in accordance with the focus of President Joko Widodo's administration in his second term of office to promote the quality of human resources as part of the efforts to realize the vision of Onward Indonesia. Hence, he remarked that in order to create competitive human resources in tune with the industrial world's current requirements, the industry ministry has been aggressive in its approach to organize vocational education and training courses. A researcher at the Oceanographic Research Center of Indonesian Institute of Sciences, LIPI, Muhammad Reza Cordova, at the Indonesian Institute of Sciences Lipi on Monday said that incomplete combustion of plastic for industrial fuels could endanger the environment and release other harmful substances attached to the microplastic. As quoted by Antara News Agency, plastic has a unique character, and when it enters nature, it can be a carrier for other pollutants. He also said when plastic is mixed with waste, people never know whether the waste is domestic or hazardous waste. Although there are no studies that examine the exact level of microplastic danger and its impact on the body, the unique character of plastic can make it contain other substances, such as dioxins, which have been proven to have adverse effects on health. And the last item, Indonesian trio rock climbers, namely Ari Susanti Rahayu, Alfian M. Fajri, and Aspar Jailolo, are preparing to face the pre-qualification for the 2020 Tokyo Olympics, which will be held in Toulouse, France on November 25, 2019. Indonesian rock climbing national team manager Pristiawan Buntoro hopes that Indonesia can achieve at least one ticket. But if it is failed, there still be another opportunity at pre-qualification event in Tokyo in May 2020.
Target kita lolos kualifikasi.
Our target is to win the qualification. If we lose in Toulouse, there is still another opportunity in Japan in May 2020. But we believe we can get one of the two targets in Toulouse. Moreover, Pristiawan explained that the combined numbers competed in the Tokyo Olympics are new numbers, which are a combination of three classic numbers on rock climbing, namely speed, lead, and boulder. And listening to Andy News, here are the headlines once again. Indonesia and Malaysia will work together to face the European Union at the WTO. Palm oil producing countries agree to boost cooperation to increase palm oil price. And listener, that's the news from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is World Children Day. Well, listener, tomorrow on November 20th, 2019, the world communities commemorate World Children's Day. This commemoration is to promote the welfare of children throughout the world. The aim is to respect the rights that must be received by a child. The World Children's Day was established by United Nations UN in 1954. 5 years later, in 1959, the UN adopted the Declaration of Children's Rights and set November 20th as World Children's Day. Under the Convention of the Rights of Children, those under the age of 18 are children. Indonesia has high expectations for children today. The theme of commemoration of Indonesian Independence Day this year, Excellent Human Resources and Advanced Indonesia, is one of the proofs. Those who are at the age of the child today are expected and directed to become excellent human resources to bring Indonesia to be more advanced. The challenges and hopes to make Indonesia excellent people must be acknowledged by all relevant stakeholders such as parents, teachers, government officials, and environmentalists. The government of Indonesia, through the Ministry of Education and Culture, is committed to freeing the education unit to design innovations in education sector. Minister of Education and Culture of Republic of Indonesia, Nadiem Makarim, in his remarks at the 107th anniversary of Muhammadiyah in Yogyakarta on Monday, said that the site wants to continue to proclaim an advanced character education. One of them has been done through early childhood education, which is locally called PAUD. Through the PAUD, there are five main values of character to be built. They are religiosity, nationalism, independence, mutual cooperation, and integrity. These values are expected to strengthen Indonesian children into human resources who do not give up easily in facing challenges. Excellent human resources must be formed since the golden period of children. For Indonesia, it is not just awareness about this that must be strengthened, but concrete action that must be taken. It is hoped that through early childhood education carried out in more than 230,000 education units or schools throughout Indonesia, generations of being religious and nationalist, independent, strongly cooperative, and highly integrated will be created. Of course, the character that is built from an early age must develop even better in the next level of education. Each education unit must continue to innovate in a bid to motivate every student to develop their abilities, skills, and characters to be the front line that will bring Indonesia to reach Indonesia Golden 2045. With the votes of all related stakeholders, hopefully the Indonesian children today will become not only the leaders of Indonesia, but also the world's leaders. Happy World Children's Day! Listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in history begins with November the 19th, 1969. Pele scores the 1,000th goal in his career. Edison Arantes do Nascimento, or better known as Pele, is a world soccer legend that originated in Brazil. During his career as a player, Pele managed to bring Brazil to become world football champions three times, namely in 1958 in Sweden, in 1962 in Chile, and in 1970 in Mexico. Thanks to his success, Brazil is entitled to the Jules Rimet Cup. Pele earned the nickname O Rei, or the King. On November the 19th, 1969, Pele scored his 1,000th goal for Santos. Pele scored when faced with Vasco da Gama through a penalty kick. Pele's appearance with Santos has made him travel the world in various matches. I'll turn to November the 19th, 1977, Anwar Sadat, the first Arab leader to officially visit Israel. Egyptian President Anwar Sadat became the first Arab leader to visit Israel officially. On November the 19th, 1977, Anwar Sadat paid a visit to Jerusalem at the invitation of Israeli Prime Minister Menachem Begin, which was the beginning of peace negotiation between Israel and Egypt. In 1978, the Camp David Peace Agreement was created. Anwar Sadat and Menachem Begin then received the Nobel Peace Prize. I'll end today in history with the incident on November the 19th, 1990. The F-22 Raptor stealth fighter made in the United States flown for the first time. The F-22 Raptor is a stealth fighter made in the United States. The aircraft was originally planned to be used as an air superiority fighter for use against Soviet Union warplanes, but it was also equipped with equipment for ground attacks, electronic warfare, and intelligence signals. The F-22 Raptor first flew on November the 19th, 1990. Lockheed Martin Aeronautics was the main contractor responsible for producing most of the fuselage, weaponry, and F-22 assembly. Then its partner, Boeing Integrated Defense System, manufactures wings, avionics equipment, and pilot training and maintenance. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
cinta ini.
There was a song entitled Dengarkan, sung by Bunglon. You still tune the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Next, we are going to give you information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. It's good to be with you again in our regular program, My Indonesia. The title of My Indonesia today is Indonesia Initiates UN Resolution for Creative Economy. Indonesia has initiated a United Nations resolution on the creative economy at the UN General Assembly session. This resolution was adopted by consensus in New York, USA on November 14, 2019. The resolution entitled International Year of Creative Economy for Sustainable Development 2021 emphasizes the crucial role of the creative economy sector in promoting sustainable development. As quoted through the website kemlu.go.id, Ambassador Dian Triansyah Chani, Indonesian Permanent Representative to the United Nations in New York, emphasized that Indonesia has taken various steps to prioritize the creative economy at the UN. Remembering the creative economy has a great contribution to sustainable development in many countries. For the first time, Indonesia initiated a decision at the UN in the form of creative economy resolution. The European Union and a number of delegates expressed high appreciation for Indonesia's initiative. In addition, Indonesian resolution sponsored by 81 countries encourages investment in production and trade in the creative sector and supports the role of micro, small, and medium enterprises, women, young people, and local communities in developing the creative economy. The creative economy is a resilient sector, and it continues to grow amid the economic crisis. Based on the 2018 United Nations Conference on Trade and Development, or UNTAC, the sector grew more than double in the 2000 until 2015 period, from $208 billion to $509 billion, with an average growth of 7% in the same period. The creative economy can contribute positively to the achievement of sustainable development goals SDGs, especially on the targets of quality education, gender, economic growth, employment, and design world gap reduction, urban and residential areas, well, sustainable production and consumption patterns. The Creative Economy Resolution agreed at the Committee 2 at the UN General Assembly session is a follow-up to the World Conference on Creative Economy, which was initiated by the Minister of Foreign Affairs and the Tourism and Creative Economy Agency in Bali in November 2018. Committee 2 is a special committee at the UN that deals with the fields of economy, development, finance, and environment. Indonesia, represented by Ambassador Chani, was the chairwoman of Committee 2 in 2016 until 2017. At present, the Committee 2 is chaired by Ambassador of Senegal, Sheikh Niang. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
There was a song entitled Salam Semata, sung by Bening. You still tune to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.winews.id. Listener, for the next segment, we will present Indonesian Wonder, which tell about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Listener, nice to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder. Today, I introduce you to Dodo Lagoon tourism object in Lampung Province. Listener, touring to Lampung Province, Kiluan and Waikambas Bay become the main tourism destinations of tourists. Whereas the southernmost province of Sumatra Island has a lot of interesting tourism destinations. One of them is Dodo Lagoon. Dodo Lagoon is beautiful natural pool. The lagoon is bordered by big rock, which naturally form the lagoon like swimming pool at seashore. This tourism object is located at Kiluan Negeri, Kelumbayan, Tanggamus Regency, Lampung Province. From Bandar Lampung, it takes around 3 to 4 hours by using land transportation to Dodo Lagoon with a distance about 80 kilometers. Arriving at Dodo Lagoon site, you must walk around 3 kilometers from parking space to lagoon. Along the route, you will pass the hill and people's plantation as well as stretch of Gayo Beach from the distance. Although passing slippery and steep rocks, you will satisfying when seeing beautiful scenery at Dodo Lagoon. White sand and greenish blue water become attraction of the lagoon. At the area, there are a big size lagoon and two smaller lagoons. These pools are bordered by big rocks, which prevent sea waves to hit the pools. However, the water comes from seawater, so it is salty. To go to Dodo Lagoon, you should try to swim at the pool, which offers its own sensation. When swimming, you feel on your own swimming pool at seashore. Sound of waves, which is obstructed by rocks, is heard clearly. Sometimes, you can hear monkey's voice which sing together from the distance. In addition, to enjoy the freshness of the lagoon water, I suggest you to take pictures at the beauty of the nature. This tourism object is also completed with some public facilities such as mosque, restroom, and parking space. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today's edition. Tomorrow, we will meet again with other interesting topics. Goodbye for now.
You have just listened to the song entitled Lilin Lilin Kecil, sung by Krisya. For the next segment, we will present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian, Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, we will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabulary and expression, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian. This program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
Voice of Indonesia.
Welcome to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment that introduces the Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to converse in Indonesian. This Mari Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia, RRI Overseas Broadcasting Station, and the Language Development and Development Agency of the Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is Semoga Makin Sukses, or in English, literally, may you be more successful, or I wish you much success. Next, I will give you an example of a conversation titled Semoga Makin Sukses, or in English, I wish you much success. At Joko's house, Tony is having a birthday. Dinda, Joko, and Endah gave a surprise and then congratulated Tony, wish him a happy birthday, and express his hope and prayer.
Selamat ulang tahun, Tony. Semoga kamu makin sukses.
Terima kasih, Joko. Aduh, saya makin tua.
Tidak, kamu masih muda, Tony.
After listening to this conversation, I will introduce phrases and vocabulary related to today's theme, which is Semoga Makin Sukses. Semoga Makin Sukses, which means I wish you more success. I will say the words twice and you can repeat after me. Makin. Makin, which means more or increasingly. Semakin. Semakin, which means more or increasingly. Sukses. Sukses, which means success. Bijaksana. Bijaksana, which means wise. Dewasa. Dewasa, which means mature. Tua. Tua, which means old. Selamat ulang tahun. Selamat ulang tahun, which means happy birthday. Semoga kamu makin sukses. Semoga kamu makin sukses, which means we wish you much success. Aduh, saya makin tua. Aduh, saya makin tua, which means ouch, I'm getting older. Kamu masih muda. Kamu masih muda, which means you're still young. In the dialogue, you heard Joko said, Semoga makin sukses. Semoga makin sukses, which means I wish you more success. Joko saw that Tony was successful, and he hoped that Tony would be more successful. Therefore, he uses the word makin. Makin, which means more. Semoga kamu makin sukses. Semoga kamu makin sukses, which means I wish you more success. The word makin, which means more, is used to declare something that is increasing. The following are examples for the use of the word makin. Makin, which means more or increasingly. Semoga kamu makin sukses. Semoga kamu makin sukses, which means we wish you more success. Saya berharap kamu makin bijaksana. Saya berharap kamu makin bijaksana. Which means, I hope you will be wiser. Aku makin tua. Aku makin tua. Which means, I'm getting older. Dia makin dewasa. Dia makin dewasa. Which means, he is more mature. In everyday conversation, you might hear someone say, Saya semakin tua. Saya semakin tua. Which means, I'm getting older. The word more and more, semakin, which means more and more or increasingly has the same meaning. However, the word semakin is only used in conversation. The following are a few examples. Semoga kamu semakin sukses. Semoga kamu semakin sukses. Which means, we wish you much success. Saya berharap kamu semakin bijaksana. Saya berharap kamu semakin bijaksana. Which means, I hope you get wiser. Aku semakin tua. Aku semakin tua. Which means, I'm getting older. Dia semakin dewasa. Dia semakin dewasa. Which means, he is more mature. Before ending, let's speak in Bahasa Indonesia today. For more details, let's listen to an example of the conversation once more.
Selamat ulang tahun, Tony. Semoga kamu makin sukses.
Terima kasih, Joko. Aduh, saya makin tua.
Tidak, kamu masih muda, Tony.
That was today's edition of Mari Berbahasa Indonesia. Hopefully it can be useful for those of you who want to learn more about Indonesian. We'll meet again tomorrow with a different kinds of topic. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
semua duka bahagia yang selalu kan ada dalam jiwa. Temani dirimu berdoa ke dalam semua duka bahagia yang selalu kan ada di jiwa. Temani dirimu berdoa ke akhir masa.
You still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World on frequency 3.5 kHz and website www.vinews.id. Next, we inform you about Indonesian music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Welcome back to Music Corner. Today we present a Malayan song to you, entitled Sri Langkat, sung by Iyad Bustami. The song Sri Langkat consists of verses of poem. Its lyrics tell about life advice where we must have knowledge and not arrogant to run the life. The music of the song is a medium tempo, which is appropriate for dancing. The song is quite popular and sung by many singers in different versions. The song Sri Langkat is taken from Malay pop album 40-60, and it is the first album of Iyad Bustami, which was released in May 1994. Here is the song Sri Langkat, sung by Iyad Bustami. Enjoy the song.
Sampan menuju pulau Amboi. Bila sampai anda ku tak tahu sayang, ombak dan badai takkan ku hirau asalkan sampai tempat tujuan.
Amboi Sri Lanka, Amboi Sri Lanka.
Voice of Indonesia.
Mm-hmm.
Listener, thank you for listening our English program on Voice of Indonesia through shortwave on frequency 3325 kHz. Please give your suggestion and criticism through Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and also send your email to voi@voinews.id.